What is life? Or rather, why is life? What is the point? Simply this: to reproduce, to pass on a piece of yourself for future generations. All life reproduces, but only one kingdom has sex for reproduction: the animals. The king of the animals is surely the lion. But even kings have to reproduce. Yeah. There is the female. She is ready for the male. Look at her. She is flirting outrageously. Typical. Look at her. She wants them all. Oh no. Ah. Now she offers herself to... She don't know him. She's a little slut. Oh, God, look. Now she's going more. What a little whore she has turned out to be. And look, she knows that others are watching. She likes them watching. Oh, Christ. Now she is saying, in the mouth, in the mouth. She is fucking disgusting. But he don't mind. Oh no. Because he likes to fuck. He likes to fuck and eat. Eat and fuck. Sometimes he likes to combine the two. Mm. And so this is the law of the wild. But you know, we are animals too. All you good people of the Bloomsbury Theatre, you are animals. You all reproduce. Well, unless you are, how do you say, bent.
But most of us like to play around with the female of the species.
Me.
I can't. I'll just knock one out in there. I'll be on fire with this. You might as well shoot off.
He will be half hour at least, or your money back. Please welcome to the stage, Ricky Gervais.
Oh, thank you. I know what you're thinking. All that boxing training paid off. What was I doing? I mean, what? Why did I do that? I don't... Well, I do know, actually. I did it sort of... I thought I'd get sort of fit and lose a bit of weight. But they're easier ways than getting punched in the face. And that wasn't the hardest bit. The worst was we had to have our percentage fat calibrated in this... You know, the bod pod. Did you see it on the... Celebrity Fit Club. We had to sit in this little thing. I laughed at Rick Waller when he had to do it. And you have to... And you have to sit there in your Speedos. And it didn't go in the final programme, but they were filming it, and it was so embarrassing. And Grant Bovey came out at 8% fat. I came out at 25. Which is more than I could have hoped for, really. But you know what? Rick Waller came out 60% fat. I looked that up. That is the same percentage fat as a pork scratching. Absolutely true. It's true. Oh. No wonder he's got low self-esteem, being biologically similar to a pub snack. It must... Actually, he hasn't got low self-esteem. I was watching it. I felt a bit sorry for him. I thought, they're having a go, right? But he didn't want to do it. He wasn't playing by the end. And they eventually got around to weighing him and letting him know the weight. And he was 31 stone. And he went... What? Where's the surprise? What were you thinking? What did you... What? You expect him to go... And Rick Waller... 10 stone. And you've just been carrying out a lot of padding. Have I? Really? Oh, silly me. But the next month he was weighed, he'd put on a few pounds, and he went, I don't believe it. I've hardly eaten a thing. Well, you have. You must have. If you eat more calories than you burn off, you put on weight. It's simple as that. Do you know what I mean? But I mean, we're not fat by American standards. They're proper. They are. They're gold medalists, aren't they? Some of them are different species. You see that thing on the Jerry Springer? Jerry Springer saves the world's fattest man. See that? And it was this fella, and he was 75 stone. Amazing. And he was like a blob on the bed. Not being nice, but he was. He was like a little. Yeah, just look closely. Go, oh yeah, here's a person. You know what I mean? It's like, you go, oh, that's funny, and then you start. I started feeling sorry for him because he was really worried, and Jerry Springer had to take the wall of his trailer off and get him to hospital in a reinforced ambulance. And he was going, I don't want to die of Jerry, and it was quite moving. But then, no, it was, but I got over that. And then I thought, as you do, and then I thought, when he was weighed one day and he was, say, 50 stones, didn't he go, that's... That's a lot, isn't it? And I go, yeah, it's a lot. So it's not, I mean, yeah, it is. It's quite a lot for a human. For what is essentially a land mammal. I mean, there must have been a clue when he had to get someone else to read the scales. That way, when you appear on the Ordnance Survey map, just stop eating. But it is people who make excuses. There's nothing wrong with fat people. We all eat too much in the West. But it's as people say, it's glandular. It's not glandular, is it? It's not. It's greed. But just admit it. I've heard people saying, it's like, it's big bones. Yeah, big bones covered in meat and gravy. I eat the occasional sweet. Fucking three-piece sweet by the look of you. Why animals, I hear you ask? Well, I've always been fascinated with them for an early age. I mean, anything to do with natural history. And this show is sort of life on Earth, the bits David Attenborough left out. And he's getting on a bit. He's not going to be around forever. I can... If I start now, soon, I can... You know what I mean? And he's getting very slow. That blue planet thing, that took him 5 years. I bet the BBC were going, fucking, what's he doing? We've seen, come on, that for half hour. So. Not saying I'm not pushing myself forward, but I think I can. Well, he is a bit of a hero of mine, actually, David Attenborough. And the Blue Planet is a work of genius. And it did take 5 years to make, so I was pleased when he was rewarded with a nomination at last year's Broadcast Awards for Innovation. Lost out to Banzai. Think of his little old face, do you know what I mean? I bet he was sitting there on his dicky bow and everything with the producers, and they go, and the nominations are Blue Planet. Banzai. No, don't. And the winner is, as old as, I bet he was halfway to the fucking stage. I'd have got the panel after and said, what do you mean Banzai is what? I showed a whale getting mugged. We like shaky hand, man. Fair enough. But there are over 1 million species of animal. Because we've got to be vague, because we're finding new ones and classifying new ones every... I say we. I haven't. I'm not. No, I don't want you to go away and say, it's all Gervais, because he's classified. I've done very little to actually towards the... I've done nothing towards it. But there's a million, right? And combined with plants, there could be up to 6 million species. There are 300 types of parrot. There are 800 types of tarantula. Not spider, just tarantula. There are 1,000 types of bat. I don't think you need 1,000 types of bat, to be honest, but I think a lot of that's nitpicking. I think we could clump a few. There's probably about 8 types, I reckon. I reckon that's zoologists quota filling and getting money for every one they find. It's like a grand. Found another one. Have you? Yeah. Look. What is it? Very slightly longer-eared bat. Look. It's just... Yeah, all right. Any more? Yeah. Chubby bat. Have you just been overfeeding a pipistrel? No. There are more species of fish than mammal, bird and reptile put together. And it's a very frightening statistic. By the end of this lecture, and it is a lecture, by the end of this lecture, we will lose 2 species of animal. Now, I won't be talking about them, it's not worth it. It's well, waste of your time and mine, so let's move on. Okay. Oh, there goes one. It's alright, it's a gnat. Not the big one. Oh, not the panda. Oh, the panda. Oh, let's save the panda. We are. We're not shooting it, we're not eating it, we're giving it cash. I mean, it's not meeting us halfway, is it? It's not shagging. To be honest, I don't... when did it stop doing that? I mean, it's as evolved as any other. It's been around for millions of years. When did it go, I'm not doing that anymore? Go on, no, dirty, I'm not... That. What are you doing? Playing with a tire, I'm not shagging her. Is that the choice? One? Well, you're rare. We can't... Oh, I don't like her. We'll probably live forever anyway. We're goths. You're not goths. We are, look, we're not... No, I've never seen a little fat, hairy goth. Robert Smith, apart from Robert Smith, you're not... But the Chinese government are so worried about their icon of world wildlife, right, that they started... It's absolutely true, right? They've started giving pandas Viagra, right? And it said in the statement, they're trying Viagra where traditional Chinese aphrodisiacs have failed. I looked some up on the internet, one of which is ground panda penis. That's why that one didn't work. There you go, drink it. Cheers. Ooh, have I got the horn? Where's the... Did you... And it said in the statement, it said that the average copulation of a panda is 30 seconds. But Viagra allows them to mate for 20 minutes. Now, I don't want to get base, but I don't understand that. Because you either come or you don't. What difference does it make whether you come after 20 minutes or 30 seconds? I don't... Unless the male only ever goes for 30 seconds, whatever happens. And then just goes, well, I didn't come, but the watch never lies. Or the Viagra makes it ejaculate for the full 20 minutes. It's just empty and it's definitely going to become, and it's like he's getting, and she's got, woo, like a, it's like pumping her till she's a big wobbly spunk bomb. Do you know what I mean? And the zookeepers are going, well, how much did you give him? She's going to fucking blow. Fucking hell. And the male sort of empty and just slides off her like something you'd stick your pyjamas in. And like, oh, God, just fucking kill me. I'm never doing that again. I don't care. But that's absolutely true. Honestly, I read that. And see, you're learning something already. And because I want this show to be educational and thought-provoking and not just a bit of stand-up, I will, of course, be touching on the most violent and destructive animal on the planet. The giant gorilla, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, look at him. Some people think the most violent and destructive animal on the planet is man. Hello? Look at him. That would rip a man to pieces. Think, look. Look at the size of him. They're buildings. God, no man would... The worst, most prolific mass murderer would... Dr. Harold Shipman wouldn't be able to... How would he get that in an armchair when its kids were out? It wouldn't... He couldn't. Fuck off! Fuck off! Look at it. Worst dictators in the world. Who's killed the most? Pol Pot. He's killed the most. 100,000. You know who Pol Pot is? The bloke in charge of Cambodia. He killed 100,000 people. He shit himself if he saw that. This is absolutely true. He rounded up anyone he thought was intellectual and had them executed. Absolutely true. 100,000 of them. And how he told whether someone was intellectual or not was whether they wore glasses. If they're that clever, take them off when they see him coming. They're thick. Well, kick it up. Look out, here comes Pol Pot. All right. Yeah. Not too bad, yeah. Lovely. It is, yeah. Him over there. Oh, going through. See that. Fucking wanker. I could solve the world's problems if I cared. Oh. Not all gorillas are that big, obviously, but they're still pretty big. You see a mountain gorilla up close in the zoo or, you know, in the wild, kill it before it... No, I'm joking. They're very passive. They're honestly very passive, totally vegetarian. Unlike some great apes like chimps and bonobos, they get a bloodlust, they hunt a monkey. A gorilla will only ever eat vegetation. It will never attack unless provoked. And this was illustrated quite well a few years ago. Do you remember when that little toddler fell in the gorilla enclosure at the zoo? He was about 3. And he fell down and he knocked himself unconscious. And this big silverback, his name was Jambo, just started walking towards him. And the people he was with and the people at the zoo, they were going spare, they were screaming, they didn't know what to do, they were at their wits' end. They filmed it. Didn't completely lose the plot. They probably figured if we lose him, we make 250 quid. I mean, insurance, not a complete disaster. Send it back to Jeremy Beard or that big one off Emma, what's her name, Ermintrude. I don't know. I don't watch like that. But the mountain gorilla came and sat with him, just looked after him until the authorities got in, shooed him away, and it was fine. The kid was absolutely fine, and they didn't send it off. But it was fine, it was a happy ending, and that's fairly typical. I was watching that with my nan, and she was getting on a bit then. She's dead now, it's true. She said, look at that, he was lucky, because usually they gobble them straight up. Usually. How many kids has she think thrown to the gorillas in her time? She also said, right, she's dead now, but she was on the way then, from the neck up. But do you remember the Strange Ways riots about 10 years ago? And the prisoners were up on the roof for about 3 days, and the guards and police couldn't do anything. They were ripping the place to pieces. They were putting the tiles off one, they were just throwing it down for about 3 days. She went, look at them. They should be locked up. Very rare, luckily, giant gorilla. One official sighting, New York, 1930s. Made the news because it grabbed a starlet at the time, Faye Ray. She's pretty big. I used to think we evolved from apes. Darwin's theory of evolution through natural selection seemed pretty watertight. But in doing research for this show, I came across a theory that deviates from Darwin's, and I believe that. I just found it in a dusty old book in a library. It's called The Bible. And Darwin was wrong. We didn't evolve. God made us. So I just want to explain to you exactly how that happened. Okay. The first book of Moses, commonly called Genesis. Start at the beginning. Fairly big book, but... Friday, innit? Lock the doors. Okay. Took me 4 years to get this platform. Now they listen. Just think if I'd have blown it, just going door to door. Right, okay. Some of the things you're hear do sound a little bit far-fetched. I admit that. I thought it was a bit. But then I found out that the other name for the Bible is the Gospel. So it is all true. So, luckily, clue is in the title. Okay. Come on, come on. The Bible. Okay. Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It doesn't go into detail. He doesn't need to explain to you. You probably understand it because he's got a massive brain. Yours is little. And you go, what? He goes, don't, what? Just trust me. I did. And also, if he explained it to you, it would like ruin the enigma. Do you know what I mean? You'd go, that's amazing. He just said, it's a trick. And you go, oh. So it's like seeing, no, it's like if David Blaine did something. And you go, oh, that is real magic. And you go, no, I'm just standing on one leg and lifting the other up. Easy. So, keeps his cards very close to his chest. God, good luck. Good luck to him. He can do what he wants. He can do anything, so he can do what he wants. Okay, here we go. In the beginning, God created the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Bit dark, he sorted that out. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Huh? Isn't that brilliant? Hey? Oh, come on, that's amazing. He made light up. Just, it was dark, it was nothing before. It's not like he saw some on holiday and went, that'll be good back on Earth. He made it up. Do you not, there was nothing to go by. It wasn't like there was twilight and he went, let's have that a little bit brighter. He just went, let there be light. And at the speed of light, he didn't go, let there be light. Come on, I'm busy, it's the first day, I've got a lot to do. I've only got 7 days, it just, do you know what I mean? And he probably didn't have to say it, he did say it, but he could have gone, that's exactly what I was thinking of, brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Come on, he's amazing. What are you, free your minds, listen, right, okay. So he did the light, invented it. Which means that he created the heaven and the earth in the dark. Fucking hell. How good is that? I'd have gone, right, let's have a little bit of light on this situation. Let's see what we're doing. Right. I need some planets. He went, that's everything, let's have a look. Brilliant. And God saw the light and saw that it was good. Even though he says so himself. it is good, but just, if there's pride in your work, then there's arrogance. we'd all like to write our own reviews. But, okay. And lo, Gervais was not only a handsome man, but a funny fucker. Maybe I'll do me own. Who knows? Okay. Anyway, he called the light day, he called the darkness night. That's chapter one, did all those things. Chapter two, he did swarmy things that swarmeth, creepy things that creepeth, all that. All the beasts of the field, made man. Different method there. He could have said, let there be man. There would have been man, definitely. But he made him out of some dust just because he can. Well, we don't think we'll do that. Ooh, right, done. It's a man. What, do you want a woman? Yeah, you can make out of some dust. No, one of your ribs. You can't do that. All right? So, brilliant. And we made them, put them in the Garden of Eden, all the animals, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Okay, brilliant. He's done well there. Now, chapter 3, and I'm not having a go at him, because he is brilliant, but in my humble opinion, I think the snake was a mistake. Okay, chapter 3. His difficult third series. It's going to get criticised, whatever, isn't it? After all the good he did in 1 and 2. He should just leave it there. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, it's a talking snake, did I not? Yeah. Oh yeah. What, you don't believe he can make a talking snake? You having a laugh? Of course he can, do anything. And perfect diction as well. Not a mumbling snake. Why? He didn't make all that snake talk. Oh, fucking hell, I've got a cleft palate. Why did I do that? Perfect. Again, that's how I wanted it. Right. Oh, and it speaks English. Which is lucky for me, because I'd be fucked. I don't speak another language. No, I did O-level French. But you don't need to speak French if you're English. You don't need to. Don't, you know what I mean? You don't. If you go to France, point, talk a little bit louder. If he still doesn't understand what you're saying, smash the place up. Secure in the knowledge that you tried your best. Don't get me started on the French. Don't get me started. They know about animals. They fucking eat most of them. God. I can have a go at the French, because I'm half French, half English with a stupid name like Gervais. No, I am. I'm half French, half English. And I've got qualities of both, French and English, which is good. So I am crap in bed, but at least I've got bad breath. Not as bad as the Swiss. I don't get started. Oh, we're neutral. We don't want to fight on either side. Not really a loss not having Switzerland on your side in a war, is it really? With their army. Have you seen the little knives they carry? What? Oh. All right, back off. He's got some tweezers. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, she's talking back, she knows no better. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, getting quite chatty now. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's saying, well, okay, that's not strictly true. He's pulling the wool over your eyes a little bit there, because he doesn't want you to have this sort of knowledge. He doesn't want you to lose your innocence, so you won't die. She believes the snake. She eats the apple. She gives it to Adam. And the snake's right. You know, they don't die, but their eyes are opened, and they're embarrassed by their nakedness. And they cover themselves up. God comes along, he sees this, he's furious. Ooh. He goes, what are you wearing clothes for in the Garden of Eden? They go, embarrassed in that. He goes, what? Take them off. No. What? I was looking at them. I made them big so I could see them from heaven. No, you. Who told you about the apple? She goes, the snake stitched it right up. So God goes mental. He's firm but fair. Well, you don't. If he loses his rag, he can do anything. So he starts handing out punishments. The punishment he gives to the man is that he'll have to toil the field from now on. He won't get manna from heaven. Punishment he gives to Eve, womankind, is that she'll have terrible pain in childbirth. The punishment he gives to the snake, who fucked up everything, remember? The punishment he gave to the snake was, you shall crawl on your belly all your days. Not really a punishment for a snake. I bet it couldn't believe its luck. Stand there going, I'm in fucking trouble. And you have to crawl on your belly. But I already, oh no! Oh, yeah, you've done me, No, we're even now, yeah, that's, I asked for that, okay, cheers, see you later. Oh, how does this work again? Oh, ow, oh, I'm being punished. Oh, this is rubbish, I wish I could fly like normal. I don't know, I don't don't know why he put the snake there, particularly one that talks and blabs, do you know what I mean? Or don't have the tree there, one or the other. It's an accident waiting to happen, isn't it? Where was he, by the way, when this was happening? Well, he's meant to be everywhere. When the snake came up to Eve and went, so they, why didn't he go, fuck off, shut up, don't listen to that. Fuck off. Just over it, bollocks, 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 bollocks. Just keep an eye on it. Or make it all, and then go to Eve, right, Eve, come here, right, that apple, right, I wouldn't lie, I'm God, right, it will kill you. Oh, by the way, if a snake comes and talks to you, he's a lying little shit. But I used to believe in all that. I went to Sunday school from about the age of 5 till I was about 9, and I fell for it. I think it's because Sunday school and this thing was such an attractive prospect to a kid, because you know anything. I mean, as long as you say, I believe in God, you can play table tennis all day. Do you know what I mean? You go, God's brilliant, isn't he? He is brilliant. Oh, look at that, yeah. Oh, I love the way he made everything in like a week. Vicar, what? Jesus is brilliant too. Can I have a Coke? Yeah. And normal teachers, they wouldn't fall for that sort of shit. I got on, okay, with most teachers, except my, didn't get on with my PE teacher. Didn't get on with PE, obviously. And my PE teacher was a nasty, but Mr. Morris, his name was. And if you forgot your football kit, he didn't make you play in your pants. Oh, no, he thought pants were unhygienic. He used to make you play with nothing on your bottom half. I mean, it was firm but fair. It wasn't a hypocrite. He imposed the same rules on himself when he forgot his kit, so... No, it was a very, very fair... He forgot his kit every week. I think it was a bit scuffed. Silly old sausage. His catchphrase was, nice tackle, boy. No, he did have a catchphrase. He used to say, you don't wash it like that, give it here. Oh, dear. His house burned down. But that's where my fascination with animals started at school. And I did well at school, but I felt that I just learned to pass exams as opposed to... I feel like I just want to get so much knowledge now. It must be a sign of age, but I want to know about everything, things I never cared about before. I've got digital TV and there's 72 channels, all shit, except I watch hours on end of the History Channel and Discovery Channel now, just back and forth, like 6-hour stints, History Channel, Discovery Channel, back and forth. Ask me anything about sharks and Nazis. Not as bad as a lot of people make out. Sharks, I mean. Nazis, horrible. Sharks, brilliant. Nazis, rubbish. But the shark's an amazing creature. It's got sense up its body. It can tell the slightest movement in water of a floundering fish through electrical impulse. It can zone in on that. It's got good eyesight, contrary to popular belief. And it can taste and smell the slightest human secretion of, like, blood and sweat, one part in a billion from a mile away. A shark would have found Anne Frank like that. Nazis, rubbish. No time for them, no time for them. I've been to her house, it's tiny. I can't believe one of them didn't go, let's look upstairs today, you know what I mean? What the fuck were they doing? Okay, yeah. So, Sarge, wait, what? What's that tapping noise? Rats, move on. Oh. She had time to write a novel, for Christ's sake. Well, it ends a bit abruptly, and no sequel, lazy. No, I'm not here. Not here to talk about war, and but particularly not at this time, you know. And we're to not my favourite war either, the Second World War, you know. Well, if you're asking, the Falklands. People say it was a conflict. It was a war, and it was it's my favourite war because it was a range war. What that means is that the RG guns could fire 9 kilometres and our guns could fire 17. So we just parked our boats about 10 kilometres and they were falling into the sea and we were shelling the shit out of them. It's the war equivalent of holding a midget at arm's length. And he's flailing like that. And you're just steadily kicking in the bollocks. What's it called? Malvinas! Crap. What's it called? That's why the Falklands is my favourite war, the little midget fellow. Vietnam, best soundtrack. Definitely. First World War was good. You know, they say it was a great war. It wasn't great. It was good. I mean, no, I mean, it wasn't great. For me, the great has got to be perfect. It wasn't perfect. I like the bayonets and the mustard gas. I didn't like the poetry. That, ooh, that sort of brought... Oh, do you know what I mean? Brings a war down for me, poetry. Ooh, it's the only time poetry isn't bent. But even so, let's keep it out of war. Do you know what I mean? There's one poem that everyone goes on about because it's very poignant because the soldier died writing it. And I suppose it is quite poignant. It's called We Are the Dead. It goes, "We are the dead. Once we lived, felt the sun on our face. Loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields." Be honest. If you'd had a gun in your hand instead of a pen, mate. What are you doing? What the fuck? Put it down. Pick your gun up, you cunt. Look. Let's have a game of football in no man's land. Second World War was alright, but not... the ending, that tears a lot of people, because they say, oh, you know, the A-bomb, it's, you know, atomic power's bad, but war's bad, but it ended a war, so, you know... And it was invented by Einstein, essentially, atomic power. And he's brilliant, isn't he? So bright. No, he said that light could be described as discrete bundles of energies that when irradiated onto an unstable... What sort of cunt thinks like that? Do you know what I mean? That's what turned Stephen Hawking's mental, too much thinking. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure it's too much... Too much swatting can send you a little bit like him. I don't know, but it's sort of like... The universe is expanding. Of course it is, Stephen. Now, take a day off. Go for a walk. Not a walk, but I mean, go out. No, just open a window. At least just cut. Watch a bit of telly. Robot Wars is on. You like that? Come on, but just, I'm just, I don't, I'm not. I'll be, oh, don't have a go at Stephen Hawking. He's a genius. He's not genius. He's pretentious. Born in Kent and talks in an American accent. Oh, no more war, no more war on nasty things. Animals have been used in war traditionally for, you know, forever. I mean, cavalry, and they used to send in dogs and goats to rip up the horse's underbelly in the 10th century and stuff. And I was looking on the US Navy website, researching the show, and looking at the personnel, and they've got, in the US Marines, it's absolutely true, they've got a 90-strong team of sea lions and dolphins. And they're trained to take these depth charges down and drop them under submarines and blow the... I mean, they don't know what they're doing. They're doing it for a bit of fish, but it's still... And I think mainly it's the dolphins that do all the dangerous stuff, and the sea lions are more for morale when they get back going, "That was brilliant." Well done. Let's go to... What are you going to do tomorrow's? I think I've got a bit of whooping cough coming on, so... You're doing a brilliant job. I did a lot of research on the internet for this lecture, and it is the greatest resource in the world, but it's sort of clogged up with people doing homemade websites about themselves. It's stuff like, "My name is Rupert, this is my cat, thanks very much. Here are my favourite Cure songs in order." I don't give a... Why are you... And there's trivia websites where people sort of go on there and add to them something they have to share with the world, like they think we care, and they credit themselves. Like they must wake up in a cold sweat and go, "Oh, I must tell the world this," and this is a real one. "The peanut is not a nut, it is a legume. Phew." And I want to share with you some of my favourite ones. This is a from Deb and Jen's World of Trivia. It's a real website that everyone goes on to. And page 3 of 84. Huh. My favourite, the animal facts, of course. Now, some of these are true, some of them are a little bit embellished, some I'm not sure about, but always think of the person who's telling us this. Why is he telling the world this? What is his motivation? What's he thinking? Right, okay. There we go. "You can lead a cow upstairs, but not down." That's true, by the way. It's the way their joints don't oppose. So a cow will go upstairs, but it won't go... Think of the poor bastard who found that out the hard way. But they, come on, Daisy, down you go. Oh, I can't go downstairs, my joints, I don't care about your joints. My wife's coming home in 5 minutes, get down the stairs. Come on, fucking stairs. Have you seen those blow-up cows and blow-up sheep you get in Ann Summers and sex shops? Now, the point of a blow-up doll is presumably for a man who can't get a real woman. How fucked are you if you can't get a real sheep? Not even an ugly one. I've never been a fan of bestiality. I'm sure you're not either. But there was a kid in my class who was fascinated by it. Right? He wasn't into it, but he was like 14 or 15, and anything like weird or, you know, incredible. He was the king of the apocryphal tale. There was one, he came in once, we were about 14 or 15, remember? And he came in, and I swear he actually said this, okay? It's a little bit disgusting, but he said, I apologise, right? But he did say this, right? And he came in and he said, if you want a really good wank, right? Go on. Like we're 14, like we need tips. He said, what you do is, right, you sit in the bath, right, fill it with water, you get an erection, and you get the water level, so your helmet's like a little island, right? Yeah, go on. Yeah, go on. Yeah. Effort, right? He said, and then you get a blue bottle, or a big fly, right? Oh, this is the really horrible bit. You pull its wings off, and you put it on your helmet. Yeah, put it on your helmet. And he said, why? Because it can't fly or swim, it runs round and round really fast. And that makes you come. Oh, these dirty little... What order do you do that in? Do you sit in the bath, get it all ready and go, right, I hope a fly comes in today. Be one soon. Or do you catch it and go, man, run the bath, quick! I mean... What a way to die. You've already had your wings pulled off, and then someone puts you on Knob End Island. Till Man Fat Vesuvius erupts and... covers you in egg magma. Preserved in that. So next time you see, look in a museum and there's a little insect in what looks like amber, check that it's got wings. Because that could be... fossilised caveman spunk. Right. He also said, this bloke, right, he said, he said that when you're captured by cannibals, they show you pornographic pictures so that you get an erection and there's more meat. That could still be there. That, you got, oh, there you go, that's extra. Good job he did that, there's a bit more to go round, isn't there? So how would that? So you're there, you're being bored, and the chief's like thumbing through it. Do you like that? Do you like that one? Just don't know what he was thinking. Once, right, and he must have been 17 at this time. he went on holiday with his family, and he put a crab in a pint of lager, right? Because I told him as a joke. That when a crab's pissed, it walks forwards. And when he came back, he was so smug, he went, you're talking shit, Gervais. I just remembered another story, actually, about bestiality. Just one more. A friend of mine, she's a nursery manager. And when part of her training, she had to do lots of little placements for one day. And she went to a sort of geriatric home. And she was sitting in on this meeting. And this middle-aged woman brought in her dad. She was about 50 and he was about 85. And so she's sitting on this, like, just going, oh, God, this is incredible. And the woman said, quite sad, really. She said, this is not funny. She went, oh, this is my father. He's he walks around naked. And we'd like him to come and live here now, because it's getting a bit of a problem, because I've got, you know, teenage children. And my daughter walked in on him earlier in the week, and he likes to fry up bacon and rub it on his genitals so the dog licks them. And this, the bloke in charge said, is this true? And he went, if she says so, if she says so. I mean, that's it, you're done, aren't you, little sweet old man. But the first thing I thought of when she told me that, I said, why did he cook it first? What sort of fussy dog is that? So he got to my, oh, they're out, right, there you go, look at the dog going, what? Look it. No. What do you mean, no? I'm not licking your balls. You lick yours. Can you lick yours? No. Well then, cook it. Okay. All right? Yeah. Oh. Streaky. Of course it is. I'm 85. Right. No. Just before we leave Bestiality, I do want to point out one thing. Obviously, I've never been a fan. I'm sure you never have. But there's one thing that sort of got under the radar of what's acceptable. The mermaid. Why is that okay? Why is this a... Do you know what I mean? The erotic siren beguiles men. She's half fish. That is bestiality, innit? If you get off with a mermaid. Do you know what I mean? If there was a mermaid there, a lovely naked mermaid sitting on a rock, combing her hair with, like, fish bone, right? And she wanted me, and I'm walking along, she went, hi, Ricky, I went, all right? She went, I love The Office, I went, thanks very much. Well done on the BAFTA. Two. Get it right, Scaly, if you're trying to impress me. I'd go, okay, let's have a look. Good hair like that, pretty face, yeah, they're good. No. What the fuck? It's a fish. It's a half fish. And don't get me wrong, of all the fishy type things in the sea, she's the best. I mean, the breasts alone take her ahead of the turbot, the mackerel. I'm not, you know. But I'm not just going to shag her for the halibut. Sorry. We'll cut that. Yeah. Okay. Oh dear. But now all I'm thinking of is fish puns. Do that, right? Don't think of any. Right. No, what I'd do is I'd go, yeah, like that, right? But I'd still say no. Because she's a fish monster. And if I had to sleep with a fish woman combo, I mean, that's the way round I'd do it. I mean, do you know what I mean? I said that to a friend of mine who isn't a little mental kid from Reading, okay? He's a commissioned editor at E4, right? I was having a conversation with him. I said, that's the way around to do it. He went, I wouldn't. I went, what? He went, I'd have the other one. I went, you'd rather shag a big fish head with legs? And he went, yes. I went, what are you talking? There's other things you could do with a mermaid. And he was getting so stressed out. He went, oh, what are you going to do, Gervais? Fucking make her laugh. Okay, number two. The Duddy Longlegs has the strongest poison known to man. It cannot administer the poison, however, as it has no teeth. What is the point of that? I mean, you know, how unlucky. I mean, if you're an atheist like me, you mean, you know, you think that evolved and it's still around and it works, whatever, and that's fine. But if you believe in God, he meant to do that. I mean, did it start off with that or did he punish it or something? Did he go, okay, right, running out of stuff here, I've got a little bit of stringy shit here. A lesser God, I can't be bothered. It's, but ours went, hold on, we can do something like this. There you go. Hold on, I can do it. There you go. You're a Daddy Longlegs. I'm a what? You're a Daddy Longlegs. Oh, lie, I get it, yeah. Brilliant. Not the most attractive creature, am I? Well, but you can fly. Not really. I sort of bounce along, right? A couple of feet off the ground, bumping into stuff. If I do find a window, I'm there for a good few hours, really. It's not aviation as I'd wish, to be honest. And these look very fragile. Are you sure kids won't pull them off? No, because I've given you the strongest poison known to man. Really? Brilliant. So if a kid comes near me, ow, he's dead. Well, use it wisely, they're only kids. Ow, he's dead. Ow, I'm going to take the teeth back. Oh, fucking hell, me and my big mouth. Oh. How am I going to eat? You don't need to eat, you only live a day. Oh, no. Number three, starfish have no brains. I don't know if that's really taken literally, that these tiny little echinoderms. Oh, yeah. But, two. Don't have a central nervous system, or whether that's just other sea creatures dissing them. And it's like someone's heard it. I don't. Number four, stroking a spider can cause it to go bald. What sort of nutter strokes spiders? And is that a problem in the arachnid world? Premature? I would have thought. Do you know what I mean? You touch a spider, it goes back to the nest, and I go, alright, why have you got a baseball cap on? Fashion. Take it. No. You've been letting a human touch her. Oh. I thought a spider would love to be a fucking skinhead, wouldn't it? You never hardest. I don't know, hardest spiders. They just never find a gay spider, would you? You know what animals? Do you know that animals are gay? I've researched this show. Homosexuality occurs in the animal kingdom as well as human society. And this is an absolutely real book. It's Biological Exuberance, Animal Homosexuality and Natural Diversity by Bruce Bagamil. And it explains the whole theory. I just want to read it. It's reviews here. The evidence is compelling and it seems there is virtually no species which does not have its gay communities. And there's illustrations by John Megahan, and I want to show you some of those because they're quite incredible. Can we have the first slide, please? Right, I wanted to. Right, I have not faked this, okay? This is absolutely real, I swear. Two male stump-tail macaques in mutual fellatio. I don't know why they're doing that. I don't know what's in it for them. I can't. Can I have the next slide, please? A male squirrel monkey, right, performing a genital display towards another male. So this one, he's going, what do you think of that? And that one's going, what? Lick it. Why? Because we're gay. I'm not. We fucking are. Look, he's getting his leg up to get more point. Get the fucking leg up. Can we have the next one, please? Oh, it's a good one. Two forms of copulation between botos, they're a type of dolphin. Genital slit or anal penetration above. And blowhole penetration. Oh, yes. He is fucking him in the head. What the? Do you see what I mean now about the bits David Attenborough left out? Look at that one on the bottom's face. Oh. We couldn't do it at the arse like them, could we? No. It's in the head or nothing. I love you, Dave, but I can't breathe. Next slide, please. Right, this is to show that it's not all male homosexuality in animal kingdom. No, these are a female Olympic marmot mounting another female. I cannot see what either of them are getting out of this. unless the one on top is wearing a strap-on dildo. There's nothing going on. There's nothing. All right? Yeah. Anything? Not really. Do you want to swap? Yep. Better? About the same. There's just nothing going on. Oh, last one? You have one more? Oh, good. Okay. Courtship. I swear, this is real. I swear. Courtship and sexual activity between female long-eared hedgehogs. Oh. Sliding above and cunnilingus below. Lezogs. Oh. Well, there it is. I will say one thing about these. They're not photographs. That's not proof, is it? That someone just drew them. He must have gone to a publisher and written a brilliant book. All animals are gay. They're what? Yeah. Animals are as bent as a nine-bob newt. Wow, that's amazing. You got pictures? Yep. Brilliant. Can I see them? Tomorrow? It's not proof, is it? A photograph's proof. Have we got a photo of the author? Is that proof? Those little stump-tailed macaques are probably getting beaten up in the jungle. Cause they're going, that's not us! Anyone can draw that! I hope they got their own back. I think they did. Can we see the next slide, please? I drew that. And I'm pretty sure that never happened. Connoisseurs among you will have already noticed the reach around. There you go, that is a real book. Can we show the front cover? It's a real book. I mean, he only chose that because it looks a bit like Julian Clary, didn't he? The fingerprints of koala bears are so similar to human prints that they could be confused at the scene of a crime. What crime would that be? The great eucalyptus robbery. What sort of policeman would confuse that? There's a dead body, so the wind is broken, there's a cosh, the detective are dusting, they go, look, fucking prints everywhere. Quincy comes in a bit late. Sorry, lads. Sorry, I was womanising. Who with? I've had that murder she wrote. And they go, you might as well shoot off Quince. This is an open and shut case. Bloke comes in the room, battered him, and went, prints are everywhere. Oh, human prints, are they? Oh, okay. What? You are losing it. Oh no, if you think they're human prints, I'll show you later. Well, if you know something, well, it's just that you've obviously ruled out the possibility that it was five koala bears standing on each other's shoulders wearing a long coat. Polar bears will cover their black nose with their paw to disguise themselves more completely during a hunt. Now, that's incredible. Of course, they're all white, but their nose is black. So there's a little Arctic hare there. It's eating away. As well, there's a polar bear creeping up on it. It turns around. It goes. How did they find that out? That's amazing, isn't it? They must have been sitting around starving one night. They go, I can't work it out because we're all white. We don't show up against the snow. But when I creep up on a hare or something, it's like it can see me and it hops off. And I go, yeah, same thing happened to me. They hear a little voice, little hare in the corner goes, I can tell you. Can you see us? Well, yeah, I can see where you are and how many there are of you. But how? Because we're totally camouflaged. You'll kick yourselves. No, go on, please. Just tell us how. Because your nose, it's black. And I go, the nose, it's black. Oh, of course it is. Can you see us now? No. Oh. Oh, this is my favourite fact of all time. Okay. Ready for this one? Montana mountain goats will sometimes butt heads so hard that their hooves fall off. Can that be... Think of that! So there's a couple of goats and they're going, oh, she's nice, I might mate with her. And the older one goes, nah, sir. I saw her first. And they go, well, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. We've got to run at each other really fast and butt heads really hard. Is that safe? Yeah. Come on. Fuck. Yep. Yours were right. Yeah, I grip. Did you... Ow. Did you know about... Did you know about this? Yep. Well, thanks for telling me. Well, we're mortal enemies. Never mind. My fucking feet are falling off. Time for one more. Here we go. Elephants have been caught swimming up to 2 miles offshore in the Indian Ocean. That's amazing. I didn't know elephants could swim. I didn't think I could swim 2 miles off. It's the language this person uses. Have been caught swimming. Like it's illegal. So there's the Coast Guard. He's having a good day. Morning. Bring, bring. Hello. They're doing what? No, I'll be there. That's me in a little boat. I'm not wanking a bloke off standing there. What are you doing? Come here. What are you doing? Don't look at him, I'm talking to you. What are you doing? Nothing. It's not nothing, is it? What are you doing? Swimming. Yeah. What's that? Beach ball. Look how far offshore you are. I'm all right. You're not all right. It's 2 miles. What are you thinking of? Sorry. You're not sorry. Because he told me. If he told you to jump off a cliff, would you? How many times have I told you? Loads. Well, don't cry. I'm worried. Don't. How many times? Loads. Then why are you doing it again? I forgot. Get in the fucking boat. Thanks very much. Good night. Cheers. Thank you. Thanks very much. Cheers. Thank you. Thanks very much. Cheers. I just want to say thank you very much for coming out, and I really hope you enjoyed the show. Ian Hislop didn't. No, he didn't. He said said it was offensive, too much swearing, and the lines weren't clever enough for him. How can he say that, the ugly little pug-faced cunt? But thanks for... When I was speaking to a mate of mine, Carl, who does the radio show with me, my producer, and he's going, what's the show about like? He's from Manchester. And he was going, London shit, isn't it? And I went, well, it's about sort of animals and pets. He went, oh, I don't get on with pets, me. It's just like that. Honestly, it's like an Alan Bennett player. And I went, what do you mean you don't get on with pets? He went, well, we had loads of cats and they all died. And I went, well, they do eventually. He went, no, they died straight away, about six of them. They got... I went, what of? He went, main road, wasn't it? Just... Right, I shouldn't let him out. He went, no, I just kept getting squashed. We got another one. And he went, except the last one, that didn't get run over. But it was vomiting all the time. Oh, it was exorcist cat. I went, what do you mean it was throwing? He's going, it was sick all the time. I went, oh no. He went, yeah. So my mum shaved it. What do you mean, sick? Just shaved like its fur off that. I went, what good did that do? Well, it was easier to wipe up afterwards. I love the fact that Carl's mum invented the dry wipe pet. But I think pets, I've always had pets, I love pets, and I think they're really essential, particularly if you've got kids, because they sort of, when a pet dies, it teaches the kid about death, and that prepares it for its nan dying, and that prepares it... No, I don't think that's my... Oh dear, oh shit, it's Nan's dying, we haven't, give me that mouse quick. Timmy, see this mouse, yeah? Look, dead, go and see your Nan, quick. I didn't mean it, you know, I didn't. But, oh dear, he's ready. But, no, I always had pets growing up, that started my fascination and, I had rabbits and dogs and cats and I had a pond, we built a pond. But she wanted just this sort of picturesque pond with just goldfish in it and, you know, clear water, no weed, nothing. Just a windmill and a couple of gnomes. And I wanted nature. So I used to, when I was about sort of like 10, 11, I went out and I used to find frogs and toads down the lake and I introduced it to them. One year they bred and they filled the pond with spawn. And she was gutted. She was going, Rick, it's ugly. I want, you've got to leave him now. I've got to leave him now. She's going, no. It causes the fish hate. I go, the fish love it. They're eating them. It's fine. She even tried this. So what mothers would do, right? She came in once. She went, Rick, we've got to get rid of them frogs and toads. I went, why? I think I saw one strangling a fish. And she used to like do little dawn raids on it. She'd scoop stuff up and like make trips to the drain, like trying to throw it away. And then one day I came down, got up in the morning. She went, go and look in the pond. And I went out, and a hedgehog that used to live under my shed had fallen in and drowned. Right, and I was gutted. I was about 10. I was absolutely gutted. And she saw I was upset, but she thought, well, let's not waste an opportunity. And she still tried then. She went, yeah, that's what I thought. It was diving for them tadpoles. No, it wasn't. No. And they go, yeah, look, let's have some of that. And I go, what are you doing? I'm going to dive in and get them. Don't. Reg, don't. You're not really seaworthy. You're more of a hedge dweller. Let's not. I'll be fine. Dive in for them tadpoles. But, Mum died a few years ago. My dad died this year. But I'll tell you a story to sum up when I was just to be playing in the garden. My other love, apart from animals when I was little, was when I was about 8. I had a go-kart. It was my pride and joy. And I'd run in from school, jump in this go-kart, and just go up and down the garden for hours until tea time. And one day I came, and I remember it was the Friday before I went on holiday, on the Saturday. Second year of going to... Bogner, but I'll tell you that. Anyway, I came home and I ran to behind the shed where the go-kart usually was, and it wasn't there. So I went to the back door where my mum was, and I went, where's my go-kart? And she went, cool as a cucumber. She went, your dad swapped it. Swapped it? I went, what do you mean? She went, he swapped it with Jimmy Dublin for a wheelbarrow. Jimmy Dublin was a bloke he worked on the building site with. So, and then she went, it's your wheelbarrow. So I went, and this, don't know, I missed it. It was this thing, if I'm about this size, and I'm like, it was like that, this wheelbarrow, right? Covered in concrete, fresh from the building site, right? Cast iron, I could hardly lift it. And I sort of got it down, and honestly, I was like that with it, right? And I could hardly, I went up and down a couple of times, it wasn't the same, I'll be honest. But I didn't start a fuss, and I was going on holiday the next day, and it was the second year of going to Bognor, just in a two-berth caravan that a neighbour had, with just me, my mum, and my nan. Oh. Yeah, come on. And whenever I came back off holiday, after being away with them two, I remember getting off, make friends quick. I just thought, I fucking think so. What? Like the window, like that, anyone, like just waiting. Do you want to go and play with them lads or watch Nanny go again in the bucket? And so, it echoes in a caravan. It does. Just wake up, what the fuck? And so the day after the go-kart wheelbarrow incident, I was out, you know, outside the caravan, and this kid about my age, he'd hired a go-kart, actually, from the bike shop there, and I was talking to him, and I just went, oh, yeah, good. I said, I've got a go-kart. The window of the caravan opened, and my mother said, don't lie. Thanks very much. Good night. Cheers. Thank you. Cheers.